Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, did you come hungry for the Word of God here today? Oh, come on, let's stir ourselves up. I mean, we've got a great crowd here. Of course, if everybody that was in our drive-in service was in here, we might not have enough seats. So I'll tell you what, it's a good thing to see people hungry for God. We didn't come to get entertained. We didn't come to, you know, perform a religious duty. We came here to worship Him. We've come to receive the Word of God with joy. So are you ready to receive the Word here today? Yes, praise God. Go ahead and join me in your Bibles over in Colossians chapter 3. Praise the Lord. And today I'm going to call this message, Ordering Your Home Life, or Keeping the Home Life in Order. Praise the Lord. I know that it is time for us to hear a message on the home life, on, you know, marriage and on ordering the house. I know there's been a lot of distractions over this past year. There's been so much going on in our society that it's been a while since we've taught on this. And so I've just noticed in both the churches that I pastor that there seems to be, you know, this drama kind of kicking up in people's homes again. Maybe, you know, a little bit of strife rising up within marriages. Well, when I see that as a pastor, I know that it is time to handle those things, all right? Time to deal with those things. And today, this message isn't going to be only about marriage. You're going to see that we're going to discuss several kinds of roles, R-O-L-E-S, right? better make that clear, that within our life, there's a lot of relationships. And I'll tell you, if we're going to be blessed, we've got to be skillful within the lane that God has called us. And what I mean is if you're a husband, that's a role that God instructs you to be skillful in. And He gives us instructions. Same with wives, children. If you're a child living within a home, you know, and you're still living there with mom and dad, you have a role to play. And there's instructions that the Lord gives you so that you will be successful in it. Praise the Lord. And we want to make sure that we're successful in it. Also, if you have a job, if you are an employee, you have a role to play. All right? There's honor there. If you are a parent, you have a role to play. Amen. And you're going to see today that all those things will lead to either reward from heaven or loss. You know, we do not want to receive the loss because we were not being faithful in it, okay? And so let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. You know, God is not looking to bless our standard of living, meaning our standard or our, you know, our criteria or our rules, so to speak, in life, or our own standards. He has standards for us, and it is those standards that are blessed. Amen, and we've got to walk those out. We're going to start in Colossians 3:16. We're going to read all the way down to the end of the chapter. Praise the Lord. Usually we stop at verse 20 or so, but today we're going all the way to the end of the chapter. And of course, you know what's going to happen. We're going to read the passage. We're going to go back through. Of course, we're going to allow the Spirit of God to interrupt us if need be, take, you know, a little tangent if need be, praise the Lord, but we're going to jump into this. Now, as I read this passage of Scripture, listen to the different roles of life that are being instructed here. Find out which ones describe you and learn to be skillful in it, all right? Because if the order of our home, if the order of our marriage is out of God's order, we're going to suffer. There's going to be things that are going to happen. There's going to be undue stress, and there's going to be a lot of unnecessary things, you know, that, you know, come into our life and try to hurt us and harm us. So let's get it right. Amen. It'll bless you. It'll bless your spouse. It'll bless your kids. It'll bless your business. Let's learn to live right for God, right? And so let's start in verse 16. It says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, we got to stop right there because we see right off the beginning of this passage, we see some fruit that's a result of letting the Word of God dwell in you richly. all right? And as we go through this passage, there's going to be other things that are fruit of allowing the word of God to dwell in you richly. Notice the first thing right here in verse 16. It says, singing in your hearts to the Lord. See, when the word of God dwells in you richly, you're not just here in a church service feeling like you're forced to sing to God because it's praise and worship time. Or when you pray, it won't be just like chewing on sawdust or just like you regurgitating a bunch of requests to God. There should be life that is on the inside of us that comes out when we pray to God, when we praise and worship him. When the word of God dwells in you richly, you'll start to want to sing to the Lord. You're going to want to praise him. When you pray, you might even sing to him. Amen. And it's not because someone asked you to do it or required you to do it, because you're filled with God's word. Amen. Now, I want to take a little detour right here. We did this last night. We're going to do it right here again. I thought I would read all the way to the end of the chapter, but we got to go look at some verses that confirm this singing in your heart when the word of Christ dwells in you richly. Hold your place there in Colossians, because we're definitely coming back to it. Go to Acts chapter 16. Go over to Acts. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Go over to Acts chapter 16, and let's look at verse 24 and 25. Let's look at what it's like when the word of Christ dwells in you richly, and it leads to this overflowing praise. You know, oh, come on now. A lot of Christians in the modern era, they're just waiting for all these good things to happen to them, and then maybe they'll start praising. They'll wait to praise God when things are going good, when things are at their best, you know, all these things. You know, when the stimulus checks show up, when the tax return comes in, you know, when they've got money in their pocket and all that stuff, then maybe they might praise God. Oh, no. Go over to Acts 16, 24. Now, Paul and Silas, of course, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was used to write more than half of the New Testament, of course, as they traveled throughout the land and preached the gospel, of course, they were persecuted for their faithfulness. And we see at this point, they are literally thrown into jail. They are beaten first, and then they are locked in the stocks within the inner prison, it says. And it says this, it says, who having received such a charge, thrust them, Paul and Silas, into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And so here these men are obeying God, they're being faithful, and they still get beaten up. So if you think you're gonna, you know, never be tested, you know, in your faithfulness, you can be doing everything right, and tests and trials and attacks may come. You know, don't ever forget that. People have this idea in the modern church, well, I go to church, I'm faithful, I'm a tither, I'm serving, everything should be easy. No, it won't. You will be tested. You know, I'll tell you, we are living in the days and the times right now where everything in this world is trying to pry your hands off the gospel, trying to get you away from serving God, get you away from living for God. Of course, we dealt with this virus for all this time. Oh my goodness, I'm going to say some of these things. Here we go. We'll get back to the regularly scheduled programming here in just a moment. But we're living in a day and a time where employers have threatened those that work for them that if they're in church, in a public church service, they're not allowed to work there anymore. And you know what? A lot of Christians are succumbing to it. They're saying, oh, well then, you know, job or church, I guess I got to choose the job. I'll tell you what. This is just the beginning of such things. And if the devil can see that the church, the body of Christ will just let go of public worship that easily, he's going to keep pouring it on. If you give him an inch, he's going to keep trying to take a mile. You know, oh, you can't go there because, you know, you work for us. And now, you know, you can't work here if you're going to be going to church. You're putting us all at risk. And yet people will walk away from their church. How about making a stand? Are we going to let our employer, are we going to let the threat against our finances pry our fingers off the grip of the gospel? There's going to have to come a time, folks. The days are coming. They're here right now. when Christians are gonna have to take a stand and are gonna have to be strong enough to say, sorry, God is first. God is first. There's gonna have to come a time when you're gonna have to say, you know, I'm not scared of this thing. Folks, I'm here to tell you, and you say, well, man, Pastor, this sounds like bad news. Well, no, this is just the truth. This virus is going to be in the land until Jesus comes back. You know, vaccines don't eliminate risks in this life. They don't. This virus will be there. There's 1,000 other viruses. There's a ton of other diseases. There's risks every day in life. And if this thing gets in your mind, it's trying to rewrite the definition of the church. I've said it from day one that this fear is getting in people. They're trying to turn church into an online entity only. If you're having church online, unless you're obviously disabled or it's an outreach or something like that, but if you're sitting in front of a screen and saying, this is what church is to me now, you're in disobedience. You know, if you're sitting there saying, you know, well, church is just at home and, you know, on the couch now. No, it's not. This stuff that has taken place is not allowed to rewrite the definition. Oh, people have said, I'm not allowed to be in a public service. I can't do that. There's going to be every reason in the world that the devil is going to try to bring to pry your faithfulness off from the gospel. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this thing is always going to be there. What, are you always going to be unfaithful to God because there's a new virus in the land? So, well, Pastor, but this one's different. What makes it any different? Because the way they talk about it on the news? I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm not saying that it isn't a real trial for people. But you know what? It's not the only trial in the land. It's not the only test. It's not the only hardship. You know, and Christians have sat there in front of the news screen and have been convinced. You know, they have been absolutely convinced that this is big and bad enough where it should change their definition of what church and faithfulness is. God's instructions to us don't change. In time of pandemic, God's instructions don't change. In time of war, it doesn't matter. Amen. You know, our Constitution is that way too, by the way. Well, glory to God. So these men are now in the prison. They were cast there. They did not protect their financial situation. They stayed faithful no matter what it took. And here they are at one of the lowest points in their life. None of us have ever experienced what these men were going through right then. But look at verse 25. And it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas complained and wailed and cried and thought, oh, think of all the money we're losing. Oh, wait, did I misread that? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. See, when the word of Christ dwells in your heart richly, your circumstances don't matter. You can still sing, you can still pray. The word of Christ should dwell so richly within our hearts that it just boils over with singing and praising in our life. So if you think that you got to have good circumstances to have joy, notice you don't. But Paul and Silas simply chose the joy that they knew of because the word of Christ dwelled in them richly. And notice this, the prisoners heard them. People that are in bondage in this life, they're waiting to see what it looks like when God's people will keep praising and glorifying God and who are not scared in the midst of a tough time. Now look at verse 26. I wasn't planning on going there, but this is just too good to stop. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands or chains were loosed. And so notice that their praising didn't just deliver Paul and Silas. It delivered everyone around them. So now all the doors open and all the chains fall off because somebody was so filled with the word that their circumstances didn't matter, that they praised and they shouted and they glorified God. And people who were in need of deliverance got it because of two men's faithfulness. Who is going to be blessed by your faithfulness, your life? Who's going to be set free because you were in church, you were praising, you were worshiping, whether you were in the darkest hour of your life or not? Notice, by just listening to Paul and Silas, you would have no clue that that was the darkest point of their life. You would have had no idea because their countenance was filled with God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Notice prayer isn't just a bunch of dry requests from God. Prayer can be filled with a boiling over of praise and worship and singing where it's lively. Amen. And that's what we're going to get Wednesday. And, you know, this verse is something that, you know, I've been, you know, kind of meditating on, thinking about prayer and thinking about, you know, how we don't need circumstances to make our prayer time joyful. Amen. We just need to have the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. So notice this, it says all their bands were loose, but it says all the doors were open too. What doors are going to open in your life? Paul and Silas, they went through a tough time, but because they sang in praise, they were delivered from even further tough time. They were in a bad place, but the doors opened, and it didn't just open for them, it opened for everybody around them. Think about how your faithfulness, because the word of Christ was dwelling richly in them, everyone around them got blessed. Hallelujah. Go back to Colossians. See, now you see other examples of how the word of Christ dwelling richly in somebody will lead them to praise and worship. Glory to God, and to sing to the Lord in their heart. And it's not just because everything, you know, in their life was going so well. Oh, boy. Come on now. Okay, now we need to really read this passage. Because I promised you that this message was called Keeping the Home Life in Order. Well, we've got to get to that. All right. Verse 17, it says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers," or you could say it this way, "parents, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." Now, when you see that those terms, servants and masters, some people think that this is a reference to slavery. And they start thinking about slavery within American history. And they start thinking, you know, about our history in this nation. That's not what it's talking about. So many times we start to filter things through our own history in this nation, but that's not what it's talking about. Here, in those days and times, there were people that worked for others or they were indentured to somebody for a period of time to pay off their debts. It wasn't slavery as we know it, all right? A more appropriate way to say is this way. Employees, obey in all things your bosses according to the flesh, or those that you work for. Oh, my goodness, praise the Lord. Oh, and my staff said amen. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Verse 23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons." Okay, as we read through this passage, do you see that there are five roles being mentioned? Much of it pertains to the home life. All right, he starts with wives, and then he goes to husbands, and then he goes to parents, or children, and then to parents, and then to those that are workers. All right. So if you are a husband, if you are a wife, if you are a parent, or if you are a worker, or if you are a child living at home, this message pertains to you. if you fit in one of those roles, go ahead and raise your hand. Is there anybody? Yeah, every single one of us are in one of those five roles, if not more than one of those five, all right? But notice what, you know, happens when the word of Christ is dwelling in you richly. Not just verse 16, not just the singing and the praising. Those aren't the only fruits of being filled with the word of Christ. All this passage is a result of when the word of Christ is dwelling richly. When the word of Christ is dwelling richly within a home, wives submit, husbands love, children obey, parents don't frustrate their kids, and workers work. Praise the Lord. And so these things are the fruits of the word of Christ dwelling in you. All right. Now notice he didn't talk about, he didn't say if the word of Christ dwell in you, I promise you will have a vision every Monday morning. Or Jesus is going to appear to you on a cloud. Or this many angels are going to show up and talk to you. Or you're going to see into the realm of the spirit. Of course, some of those things do happen, and we believe in those things. But notice the supernatural move of the word of Christ in your life. It brings submission. It brings obedience. It brings a strong marriage. It brings a good work ethic. Amen. It brings obedient children. See, we all want to see miracles like in the Old Testament. We want to see, you know, the pillar of fire by night. We want to see the pillar of cloud by day. We want to see the parting of the Red Sea. We want to see the floating of the axe head. We want to see the water out of the rock and all that. Well, guess what God wants to do in your life in the New Testament? He wants to order your home so that you can receive the reward. Look at verse 24. Verse 24 says, knowing of the Lord, you shall receive the reward. The reward of what? Of the word of Christ dwelling in you richly, and then you fulfilling your role in the home. Boy, it sure is quiet in here today. But then look at verse 25. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. All right? If we're not skillful in these roles in our home, then we will suffer loss. All right? There will be things that we will receive for the wrong that we've done in our home. So let's get this right. Let's bless marriages. Let's bless kids. All right. Now, I'm going to start back there. Oh, boy. Go to verse 18, and I'm going to start addressing each role. We'll see how much time we have to get to as many as we can. Go to Colossians 3:18, and I'm going to start right here with the wives. Oh, my goodness. Why am I starting with the wives? Because I want to get it over with. Plus, my wife is not here today, so this is a perfect opportunity. No, I'm starting with wives because the Lord started with wives in this passage. Now, please, everyone listen right now, especially the ladies. The last thing I want to do is tick you off. Because I know that as a pastor, ladies do a lot of the blessing around here, you know, take care of the church and are so faithful. My goal, of course, I know we're saying this in humor, but in seriousness, though, my goal isn't to go after anybody here today, all right? So there might be a lot of correction that's given. And just so you know, for whatever it's worth, it's very uncomfortable as the pastor, being a man, you know, and correcting the ladies. All right, so, but I will do it for God. For God, I'll be faithful, all right? But just so you know, Jesus said over there in Revelation 3:19, he said, as many as I rebuke, I love, right? And so if you get rebuked today, whether you are a man or a woman, just know that God loves you, so do I. And please know this, that anytime I preach a message, it's for me too, all right? And also, I'm really going to give you a warning. If you do not like, you know, biblical stances on marriage, if you are more of, what's the term I want to even say? I don't even mean it politically. But if you are more of a liberal thinker, if you are somebody that hates traditional concepts in the Bible, you are not gonna like this message. But please know, if I say something that at first seems to shock you, well, it will, and that's fine. But hold on, because there's two sides of it, and I will explain it, all right? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. So when the word of Christ dwells richly in the wife, it will produce submission. And since the wife's instruction is to be submissive, that tells us what the temptation against wives will be. It'll be to not be submissive. The temptation will be to be dishonorable to your husband. It'll be a temptation for wives to take control of the home. Guys, don't say amen. Just hold on. And guys, just so you know, you think I'm coming after them tough, wait until I get to you. Praise the Lord, all right? All right, praise God. So wives are tempted to dishonor. Wives will be tempted to take control of a home because the instruction of God to a wife is to be submissive. Now, that does not mean, here's the other side of it, because for too long, churches and Christians have interpreted verses like this as if saying that the husband has the right to be abusive and tough and mean, and it's his way or the highway, and, you know, fetch me dinner, woman, and all this stuff. That is not what the Bible is saying. Why do we know? Look at verse 19 real quick. What does it say? Husbands, love your wives. So love does not do those things. Love does not insist that somebody serve them and somebody does it all my way. And remember, the scripture tells us in Ephesians 5:22 that we submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Okay, so go back up to verse 18. When it says that wives submit to husbands, it just means that is their side of submission. Their side of submission is honor for the husband, all right? Where the husband's role of submission is to love, okay? And so, wives, here we go. The word submit, are you ready? It means to follow one's example. But, Pastor, I don't like the example of my husband. God didn't ask you if you liked it. Oh, boy. Your job, of course, to submit to your husband would mean to pray that his example would grow. Meaning his example would be the right one for your home, the right one for you, of course. Amen. All right. The word submit means to yield to another. Oh, boy. The word submit means to prefer another for the sake of honor. Wives, let me tell you something about your husbands. God made them with an ego. Here we go. All right, men have an ego. And yes, there's an ugly side to ego, but there's also a good side to ego as well. I say, what's the good side? I don't know, I just said that, so. What ego means is that a man has the need for his wife to continually tell him how well he's doing, to continually tell him, you're the best. You know, a man has a need all the time to be told, you're doing a great job. You look so good. Why is it that Reverend Justin is laughing so hard over here? Guys, if you don't think that men might primarily fight the wars on this planet, but they are the biggest babies on the planet. Kristen, you are laughing far too loud. Men, so many times, even these big, strong, macho men, right? They need to be told how well they're doing, that they're the best, that they look good. Yes, and that is part of submission. Say, well, Pastor, my husband, I don't believe any of those things about him. Well, then just lie to him. for the sake of God, lie. That's going to be a sound bite. Someone's going to take that out of context. No, what am I saying? Ladies, search diligently. If there's one thing that he does right, tell him about it. It is true, men are pride bags. You know what I say about that? They're filled with pride. Some of that is good, all right? Because some of that is necessary for leadership and so on. Not that a woman can't be in leadership. Of course, we know she can. But we have to understand how God made the man. And he made the man with an ego. And he's got to hear the compliments of his wife. It is true. I know the women's lib movement would be rolling their eyes right now. But it's true. It's true. A man has need for honor. And so, wives, you submit through honor. The word submit here actually means to revere him. Revere your husbands. All right, how do you revere your husbands, ladies? You speak well of him. You use your opinions not to bring him down, but to bring him up. Folks, I have counseled so many married couples over the last 15 years, literally in the hundreds, and I start to see repeating themes. And this is not the only theme, and ladies, believe me, I'm not here to say that women are the problem in every marriage. No way. Actually, just the opposite. It's usually the guy. But anyhow, you know, I've seen this so many times where women don't realize, but they get in this habit of putting their husband down. And when you keep putting your husband down, you are literally like drawing the God-given grace away from him. You are literally starving him of what God put in the earth to bless him. Yeah, where I've seen these ladies, they get in this habit where they get on the phone every week with mom or with a friend. And they say all the things that their husband has done wrong, all the things where he falls short, and all the things that he's bad at, and he didn't do this when I asked him to. Hello, boy, sure got quiet in here. Did you hear that? Man, did the oxygen just leave the room for a second? You know, seriously, and women sit there and they talk down their husband, and then they wonder why he's losing motivation. Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. To speak well of your husband, to hold a high opinion of him, to use your opinion favorably upon him and not against him. Submission means that, ladies, you withhold the negative. You withhold it. You say, well, Pastor, no, I'm going to get my piece. I'm going to have my say. I'm going to, you know, be very opinionated. Well, you can be that way. But you're going to contribute to the destruction of your marriage. You will not receive the reward of the Lord by running down your husband all the time. Oh, my goodness. Wives, you cannot force your own will upon a situation. Wow. Submission sometimes means that you hold back what you could have said. Oh, boy. Wives, you have to constantly look for an opportunity to honor your husband, to speak well of him, to talk him up, and to hold back. That doesn't mean you don't have a voice in your home. We're going to talk about the husband's role, all right? But when a wife starts to try to dominate or to take control of the home, it's out of God's order. Oh, my goodness, I could just imagine. In these days that we live in, people would hear things like this. But see, all of that stuff that started decades ago, they have tried to reverse God's order. And, of course, women are incredibly, they're way smarter than us, guys. Have you learned that yet? They're way more capable than us. Have you seen that? All right. You know, so please don't misunderstand this. But we are living in the times where it's promoted in our society that a woman should dominate and take control of the home. And I'm telling you, it's wrong. I've seen it so many times. Of course, the scripture tells us. But what will happen in a home with an overly opinionated wife? Are you ready? The husband will feel dishonored. It will lead him to discouragement. A man will no longer feel the need to lead. It will create the wrong order. The headship of the man, which is, of course, written in the word, he's the head of the home. He's the head of the home. His headship will be undermined. He will not step out to lead. He will lose motivation. And when he does not receive honor, he starts to push away from the family. It's not worth it, ladies. It's not worth it. Oh, I have sat there in so many, counseling appointments where I see and I just have to stop it. And it's very uncomfortable. And I'm saying, whoa, you guys have something out of order. She's running the show. She's completely running the show. And, you know, that leads to a lot of problems. But, of course, guys, you have to step up and do your role, and we're going to talk about that here in just a second. All right? So remember, ladies, your husband is the head of the home. And just remember this. Leaders make mistakes. You live with them constantly. You're going to see all their faults. You're going to see every mistake. If no matter who you were with, I mean, no matter if you spend enough time with anybody, you're going to see their faults. You're going to see their failures. Amen. So when the word of Christ dwells richly in a married woman, she loves to submit, to honor, to speak well of her husband. It's the fruit of the word in your life. But if you're running him down, talking to your friends about all the things he didn't do or all the things that you wish he was better at and all that, I'll tell you what, you're hurting him. You're hurting your marriage. Oh, praise the Lord. Find those things that they're good at, wives, and tell your husbands, honor them. It will help. Glory to God. You know, withhold that temptation to speak negatively about him. Husbands, are you ready? It is now your turn. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. You know, there's so many stories, things that I could tell. I think of up here that when I'm preaching on this stuff, I've seen, you know, so many situations where, you know, marriages go badly. And I can tell you, you know, you start to see in the word why those things happen. All right, husbands, go to verse 19. Husbands, love your wives. That's the instruction of a husband in the home. You are to be skillful at being good to your wife. And it says, and be not bitter against them. So obviously now a husband's temptation will be to be unloving to his wife. A wife's temptation will be to be dishonorable because the Lord has instructed her to be submissive. The husband will be tempted to not be loving in the home and not love his wife. Now, all right, husbands, your instruction to your wives is to love them. Now hold your place here in Colossians. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at another verse here. Hallelujah. This will help you. Say, well, Pastor, I wanted a more spectacular message. Well, this is like a root canal. Sometimes things just got to get cleaned up. You got to put the drama down in the home. Amen. Glory to God. Go over to 1 Peter 3:7. Oh, my goodness. 1 Peter 3 in verse 7, it says this. Likewise, you husbands. Oh, wait. We got to go up to verse 6. Just take a quick little detour here. just for the fun of it, just to kind of solidify some things that we were saying here, wives, not quite done with it yet. It says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Woo! I'm just reading the scripture. This wasn't my idea. I read that because think of the modern day take on marriage. The liberal way of thinking today would certainly roll their eyes, chastise a verse like that. And, of course, you know, men are going to go home and say, all right, my wife is now going to be calling me Lord from now on. No, that's not what it said. It was using the example that Sarah was so submissive to Abraham. All right, and it says, whose daughters you are as long as you do well and are not afraid with amazement. Or literally it means confusion. All right, don't be confused. A wife's role is to be submissive. But verse 7, here we go. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Ladies, this is where the tide turns for you today. Here it is. All right. It seemed like, you know, the game was going against you, but all of a sudden the tide has turned. You're making the comeback. Here you go. Giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Uh-oh. The weaker vessel. Women all over the world are offended at that. Well, we'll explain what that means. It says, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So notice this, guys. You mistreat your wives, God doesn't hear your prayers. All right. If you don't give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, when you hear the term weaker, people start thinking, oh, my goodness, God is making women look like less, like he's putting them down. That's not what that means. It does not mean, it's not even talking about physical strength. It's not talking about a lack of ability or capability. The term weaker vessel literally means a precious vase. A precious vase. It means something of great value that should be honored in the midst of the home. Glory to God. Oh, boy, here we go. All right. The weaker vessel, the more precious vessel. You remember, have you ever heard of those vases called Ming vases? I've used this illustration before. Have you ever heard of those vases? They're from, like, the Chinese Ming Dynasty from however many hundreds of years ago, and they're really sought after by collectors. They're worth huge money, and they're, like, the centerpiece of any collection. They're put up in the front of the glass case. You know, they're beautiful for everybody to see, to honor it, right? This is the picture that God is painting of how the husband should treat the wife. That she is precious. That she is valuable. She is to be honored with the great value that God has bestowed upon her. Now, notice it says, and of course, we looked at Colossians 3:19, where it says, husbands, love your wives. But now it says here in 1 Peter 3:7, it says, husbands, give honor to your wife like the valuable vessel she is. All right? Guys, I'm going to make you mad. I'm going to make you real mad. And when you hear this, don't start dwelling on the money aspect of it. But listen to the full thing. The term honor there, if you were to look it up, it is the same word in the Greek that Jesus spoke of when he was talking to the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7 when he was quoting the Ten Commandments. And he said to honor your father and mother with what the scripture calls the Corban gift. If you're not familiar, you need to do a little studying. See, what the Corban gift was, it was the financial offering that was given from children to parents. When the child is fully grown, the scripture says that children should make offerings to their parents. And all the parents said, amen. The scripture actually says, what is it, 1 Timothy 5:2 or 3? Remember what it says? It says that children, when they're fully grown, should requite their parents. That's what the King James says. Requite means to pay it back. All right. Whoa. I'm keeping a tab. No, it just means that Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees. And remember what the Pharisees said? The Pharisees were telling people in Israel, they say, you don't have to give the Corban gift to your parents as long as you give it to the temple sanctuary. Remember that? And Jesus said, you have nullified the word of God with your own ideas. He said they should give that to their parents because it says honor the Lord or honor your father and mother as is right in the Lord. Amen? So notice the meaning of this word honor. If you look it up in the original Greek, it doesn't mean just to be nice to somebody. It means to pay tribute to them. Guys, you always wondered why your wives like nice things. You've always wondered why they want something new for the house. You've wondered why they like the shoes or the purses, or they like nice clothing, or they like to take vacations. Now, I'm not saying every woman likes every single one of the, you know, but, you know, that women, you know, have the things that they prefer and that they like in life. And so many times, men don't understand it. They want to shoot those things down. You know, why would she want something like that? I'll tell you why. Because God made her that way. God made her to be a precious vessel that sits in the place of honor in the room to look nice, to look beautiful. Amen. And it's a husband's, it's not a duty, it's not a job, it's an opportunity to honor her, to pay tribute to her, to make sure that, you know, when the word of Christ dwells richly in a husband, he will honor the wife. He will desire nice things for her. Of course, your attitude matters. You can't just go out and say, well, I bought you a pair of shoes last week. You know, I got you something nice. Now just let me be ornery and mean. No, of course it doesn't mean that. Yes, it's attitudes. Yes, it's loving character and nurturing and things. What does it mean? It means husbands, she wants to be priority to you. Guys, listen, I put myself right here, right now. I'm jumping into the ring. I'm as guilty, responsible as anybody, you know? Because men, we get these, you know, desires, we get these hobbies, and we'll go at them. And yet, all of a sudden, our wife wants something nice, and we just throw up our hands like, well, what do you mean? Well, why would you want that? Now, I'm going to use some examples. Now, please don't let this trip you out. I'm just going to use some examples. You know, guys will get into stuff. I used this example last night, and it happened to be that there was somebody in the church that was literally going through this exact same thing. And I didn't know it. I pick random examples. But a guy, you know, a wife might want, you know, a purse that costs, you know, a couple $100 or a few $100 or something like that. Or they would like to have a few $100 to go shopping. Oh, my goodness. Why does that have to cost so much? But then he says, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about getting new wheels and tires for my truck. Yeah, each rim is $500. Each tire is $300, and they won't think twice. Or, you know, a husband will say, you know, hunting season's coming up, and I'm going to get a new hunting rifle. And, you know, I say, well, you know, just get a basic hunting rifle. You can get a basic hunting rifle for $300. $300 hunting rifle? No way. I'm getting the best, the most accurate name brand hunting rifle, and those things will be $1,000 or $2,000. And husbands won't think twice of it. You know, they'll go after those things, but they will ridicule or complain about their wife who wants something nice. When the word of Christ dwells richly in a husband, he will desire to be a blessing to her. He will always, you know, look to be a blessing, not just financially, but maybe she has a desire to take a vacation. Oh, my goodness, have I seen that come up so many times. You know, if she wants a vacation, listen, seek to bless her with one. Why do we resist the dreams of our spouses? Why don't we, in turn, when we hear them daydreaming about things, that should be our cue. Like, let's do what we can to make that happen. Let's be a blessing. If there's one thing I cannot stand, and that's a cheap husband. Ooh. Some of the ladies are like, try not to laugh. Try not to say something. Try not to amen or something like that. Guys, we have a tendency to be cheap with our wives, but lavish upon ourselves. You know, he'll always want to take the cheap way out, unless it's for himself. What happens when you got a cheap husband? All right, or what happens? Now go back over here to Colossians 3:19. Look what the rest of the verse says. I see this is what we're, the only two roles we're getting here today are going to be the wives and the husbands. Husbands, love your wives, and notice what it says, and be not bitter against them. See, a man will be extremely tempted to be bitter against his wife. Now, bitter is a flavor, isn't it? All right, now, not all things bitter are wrong. I actually like some things that are bitter, all right? I like bitter coffee. You know, I drink my coffee black in the morning. I like, you know, things that might have espresso in it. I don't like sugar in my coffee. And, you know, I like a lot of bitter tasting things. But how many of you know bitter, when it becomes too much, you reject it? Have you ever seen, you know, tasted something that is so bitter you just could not have another bite? You know, see, that's what happens when a husband becomes bitter to his wife. She starts to push away. She starts to back away. See, bitter isn't wrong. You can say things, guys, that are correct, but your tone or your flavor was wrong. It wasn't what you said, it was how you said it. All right. Now, wives, a lot of times it's not your place to, you know, go in and, you know, correct that and try to, you know, force them to be nice to you. They don't work that way. All right. But that's why you bring them to church and let me handle them. See, when a husband starts to be bitter all the time, what's going to happen in the home is that the wife gets scared of his reactions. I've seen this so many times. Because he's so quick to lose his temper, he explodes and he yells and he, you know, loses his cool over how much money she spent on groceries. Oh my goodness. How many fights have I had to step in as a pastor that started because the wife spent $50 extra on groceries and it ticked him off? Or she bought something, she saw something, and it was just something small. She bought it for herself, and she comes home and says, you know, I thought it'd be okay. I got this. Oh, why'd you do that? What do you think? Money grows on trees? You know, and guys start losing their cool like that. And see, what happens to so many wives, I've seen this, is that when their husband is nonstop bitter, she starts to hide things from him. She starts to lie to him because she cannot face his reaction. Husbands, I'm telling you, if your wife has to hide things or lie because she knows you are like King Kong in the house, it's not going to be just her fault. That's your fault, guys. Boy, it sure is quiet in here. You know why I got quiet in here? Because all of a sudden I lost all the lady ameners. When the wives have to go quiet in church, man, the church gets quiet, right? I've seen this stuff. And then she's got to hide things. And see, in marriage covenant, you can't hide things one to another. But she feels forced to do that because his reaction, and he's so bitter all the time. And then wives start hiding information from their husbands, or they start hiding money from their husbands. That's wrong, but a lot of times the husband was the catalyst of it. Can't do that. Amen. So husbands, your instruction is to love your wives, to honor her like the precious vessel, to be good to her, to be generous to her. She is to be the priority of your life. She's more important than any friend. And she's more important than your mommy. She's more important than anybody in your life. The marriage covenant in your home is the most important thing. It's more important than your lives separately. Because when you got married, the two became one flesh. Are you getting some help here today? And so, why in the world would you want to be petty, small, and cheap with the most precious thing in your life? Guys, don't be cheap. Oh, man, it really goes over well. Say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Because I see it all the time. I see it as they sit in my office, and, you know, and she's feeling guilty for having desires. You know, things, you know, places to go and things to buy to take care of the home and to make the home nicer. Guys, God made her that way. Why are you resisting that? Now, obviously, you don't go out and get into debt just to keep your wife happy. And obviously, ladies, you don't take advantage of this either. I mean, you don't send your husband's text messages of pictures of the next pair of shoes that you want. I hope my wife is listening here. Maybe she might be watching. Hey, I'd like this. Hey, faith without hints is dead. It's okay. If you got to drop some hints, that's fine. But don't take advantage of it, ladies. But guys, don't be a cheap man. Why would you be cheap with her and then lavish upon yourself? I see it all the time. All right? Now, in the remaining couple minutes that we have, we talked about the wives, we talked about the husbands, and now we're talking about the children. Because children, we do, of course, we have all our kids in service here today, and we have to bring a couple things out. Of course, back over there in Colossians again, in chapter 3, in verse 20, it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Hey, for the sake of time, can you bring up Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1? Watch what this passage of Scripture says, children. All the children, listen up right now. This is your opportunity. Glory to God. Go to Ephesians 6, 1 real quick. Just bring that up for us. You know, and it says something very, very similar. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Go to verse 2, please. It says, "Honor your father and mother." There's that word honor again. All right. "Which is the first commandment with promise," verse 3, "children, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." How many of you want to see your children live long on the earth? Then you must teach them to honor you. You must teach them to honor you. Children, your parents are an opportunity to receive the blessing of the Lord, you know, to honor them, to obey them. Glory to God. So kids have a role in the home. But parents, it is your job to teach those kids to honor you. Okay? Notice in this three verses that we just read, children are instructed to do two things, obey and honor. Those are the two things that will get my children disciplined in my home if they don't do them. All right? They have to not only obey, but they have to be honorable in how they do that. A child stomping his foot across the room is not honor. You know, a child throwing things in the room, I don't care if they're, you know, a little kid or if they're a full-grown kid, if they're living under your roof, they're going to obey you. They're going to honor you. And if you don't demand it, if you don't expect it, if you don't teach them how to do that, you know, we will be doing a great disservice to our kids. My boys are going to live long on this earth. I'm going to live long on this earth. I still have my parents on this earth so I can honor them. Praise the Lord. And my boys are going to learn to honor my wife and I. Amen. And when they don't, I will discipline them. Oh, yes. Folks, we've got to bring these expectations to the home. All right. And so we could keep on going. We could go and talk about parenting. We could talk about working. Let's just mention that real quickly because the verse says that we are supposed to honor those that are our earthly bosses. How many of you have a job? All right, many hands, all right. So that means you have an employer. That means you have somebody over you that you have to obey, right? Obviously, that job doesn't stay with you if you stop obeying your employer. But how many of you know it is wrong to take a paycheck from somebody and then go into the break room and gossip behind their back, talk them down, rip them to shreds, but then go cash and live off that paycheck? How many of you know that's wrong? God didn't tell you to be good and honorable to your employer if they're good to you. He said to be honorable regardless. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you see how all these relationships, they affect our blessing from God? If I'm not a good dad, if I'm not a good husband, if I don't serve and submit to the people that are over me in my life. Now, Pastor Michael isn't my employer, per se, in my situation, but he is my spiritual leadership. Amen. So how I talk about him, how I serve in that capacity, it matters. These relationships matter, folks. and I've seen so much disarray, so many small petty fights in marriages within the two churches that I pastor, that it was time to clean this up. If you're going back and forth and you're fighting over petty stuff, I'm telling you, the word of Christ is not dwelling in you richly. If you're forcing your preferences on everything, I'm telling you, the word of Christ is not dwelling in you richly. If they can say one thing wrong and you can't walk in love and absorb that, but you've got to, you know, get the fangs out and you got to fight and make your case, I'm telling you, the word of Christ is not dwelling in you richly. You know, if you're sitting there, you know, having conversations with the opposite gender who is not your spouse, you're not walking in love towards your spouse. If you're sitting there talking to friends or parents, you know, against your spouse, I'm telling you, the word of Christ is not dwelling in you richly. If you're losing your temper, you know, if you're cheap with them, the word of Christ is not dwelling in you richly. Oh, praise the Lord. You get some help here today? All right. If you're going into your job, if you're going into your place of employment, and you're talking down your boss, you might have the worst boss, you know, in the world. But that does not give you the right to go in and just shred them up. You might disagree with them. You know, you might take difference on things. You might not agree how they run the company or whatever. But it's not your place to go in and tear them up personally. That's dishonorable. It's wrong. You get some help here today? I'll probably have to ask you 10 more times before we're done. Wives, when the word of Christ dwells richly in you, you're submissive to your husbands. All right? You speak well of them. You honor them. You find everything you can compliment, and you do it. Husbands, when the word of Christ is dwelling in you richly, you love and honor your wife. Can you bring up Ephesians 5:25 for us real quick, husbands? I was talking about how she should be priority in your life. She's more important than your friends, your family, everybody. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to it or for it. Christ was a sacrificial husband to his bride. How many of you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? What did God give to you to honor you? He gave you the best. And what did Christ do for his bride? He was sacrificial. Amen. And so when I hear husbands getting cheap with their wives and they say, oh, it's all about the money. No, it's not about the money. It's about the honor. I think, you know, Christ gave himself up. He certainly wasn't cheap to us. You stop being cheap with her. Amen. Did you get any help here today? Praise God. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. Father, you told us in 1 Peter 3:7 that husbands and wives inherit the grace of life together. Lord, you said that when the word of Christ dwells in us richly, we will sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. When the word of Christ dwells in a home richly, wives will be submissive. Husbands will be loving. Children will be obedient. Parents will be encouraging. And those that work for others will be honorable. Father, we just praise you today. We glorify you. Lord, you said that if we would be skillful in these roles in life, that we would receive the reward. And so, Father, we just give you all the praise and glory. Father, I pray for every marriage that is represented here today, both in the sanctuary, our drive-in, also those that may be joining us by live stream. Father, I pray for these marriages. Father, that each one, that every husband, every wife, they would take it upon themselves to do their part for their role. They wouldn't try to live the other's part or try to force their will upon somebody else, but to make changes within their own self. And so, Father, we pray that today. We thank you that this church is filled with strong marriages, strong homes, children that are being raised in the church. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? We read that scripture, Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, love your wife just like Jesus loved us and sacrificed himself for us. I'm here to tell you, folks, there is a heaven and there is a hell. There is a whole lot more after this life. The good news is you don't have to go to hell. The good news is that God has reserved a place in heaven for you if you will receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from your own sin, saved from hell, saved from eternal punishment. See, all crimes require punishment. That's even how our own criminal system is supposed to work. But when we sinned, we committed crimes against God, and those crimes were going to require us to be punished. So Jesus came to this earth. He went to that cross. He suffered a criminal's death to take our punishment for us. And when you call upon Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are receiving his innocence. He is taking your guilt so you can have his innocence. So if you're here today and that's you, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to send you to talk to church leaders or anything. But right there in your seat, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I will lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone within the sound of my voice that you've never made Jesus your Lord? Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to make you stand up or try to point you out or anything like that. Is there anybody here that say, yes, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Just want to make sure before we dismiss. God loves you. He's not mad at you. You're not signing up for anything at this church. Is there anybody that wants to get in on this prayer before we pray? Just want to make sure. Maybe you are here today and you are a Christian and you know it, but as you heard the message, you realize that you're not following God the way you should, that you realize that you need to rededicate your life to him. If that's you, could you lift your hand? I'd love to pray for you as well. Praise the Lord. Got a couple of hands there. You can put your hands down. God loves you. Let's all go ahead and pray this. Let's just consecrate ourselves before the Lord today. Everyone pray with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior. Today, I make a decision to dedicate my life to live for you every day to please you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Let's go ahead, let's stand to our feet. Folks, just a reminder that we are receiving our normal tithes and offerings as we leave the building. Our ushers are at the exits. Our drive-in folks, you can be dismissed. We love you and appreciate you. There's ushers in our parking lot as well. Folks, the days are coming real soon. We will get back to our normal, order of service, where we take up the tithes and offerings with scripture and so on. We remember Malachi 3:10, right? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, God said. And so we got to obey that. We're not forgetting that. Amen. Let's go ahead and just worship the Lord. Also, don't forget, Wednesday at 6:30, where are you going to be? Right here. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Come on, everybody. Let's praise him. Father, I command your blessing upon each one. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.